In 2017, Glendale police pulled over a car for a traffic violation. Johnny Wheatcroft was in the car with his wife, two children, and a friend. In a statement, the Glendale Police Department said that Wheatcroft was observed reaching in between the seats and couldn't present ID. They say he, quote, exhibited verbal noncompliance and resisted arrest. To subdue him, we now know from the release of police body cam footage, the officers tased him 11 times. Wheatcroft is now suing the Glendale Department and the city of Glendale, and late last week, Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery sent the case to the FBI for further review. Most of us are familiar with tasers these days, a tool that delivers 50,000 volts of electricity to subdue a suspect. It's considered a non-lethal tool, like mace, and 18,000 police departments across the country now use them. But how much do we know about their everyday use? Is the Glendale case typical? William Terrell, professor in the School of Criminology and Criminal Justice at Arizona State University, analyzes tasers in police departments. So when it comes to guns and tasers, what do we know about when and how they are deployed?
So there's somewhat of a misnomer between the taser and deadly force or a firearm.
Right.
And so deadly force, tasers shouldn't be viewed as in lieu of deadly force, because if an officer is faced with a deadly threat, then the expectation is that they'll approach it with deadly force, not with a less lethal weapon, which is what the taser is.
Right, like how an officer is never supposed to use a gun and not shoot to kill, right?
They're supposed to incapacitate the threat, neutralize a threat.
Right.
And so that's the idea with deadly force as opposed to less lethal or taser. The other thing with taser is they don't have to start with verbal threats or commands. The idea is that officers are supposed to use a level of force that's proportionate to the level of resistance. So if a suspect starts by aggressively resisting, then it's completely appropriate for an officer to use a taser without any less lethal or less coercive type of tactic.
Okay. Let's talk about how successful this has been then from your perspective. Looking at all of the research and all of the different ways in which departments have used this, is it a helpful tool for officers for the most part?
It's definitely a helpful tool. There's pluses and minuses to it. So the research generally shows that it makes officers safer because they're not going hands-on with the suspect. And so creating that distance provides some protection in terms of injury. Mm-hmm. But citizens are more likely to be injured, which makes sense if you think, particularly if they use the taser in the probe mode as opposed to stun, where they touch you with the electric shock.
So but the probe is if you're 15 or 10 feet away.
Yeah, and there's two metal darts on the end of that. So if that connects, it's like shooting a metal dart into the suspect. And of course, there's going to be some injury there and blood and that sort of thing.
Right.
So that's kind of the catch-22 with it. The other thing is that if you look at taser from an effectiveness standpoint, how often do officers believe that it's effective?
Yeah.
It really depends on whether if they're used in a probe mode, if both probes connect, it's roughly, our study shows across 8 cities, about 90% effective. But about 3/4 of the time, both probes don't hit. And when that occurs, it's much less likely to be effective.
There's been research about taser use by young, more inexperienced officers, which can lead to problems of excessive force, right? Is this common that those accusations are thrown at officers?
Well, the research generally shows that the least experienced are more likely to have more troublesome use of force cases. The difficulty, and that's not just with taser, that's with all types of force.
Sure.
And so taser fits that mold as well. And the difficulty within policing, as in many occupations, is the least experienced get assigned to the most difficult policing areas. So they come right out of the academy and they go to the night shift in the high crime areas. So we're asking the least experienced to actually police in the areas that have the most potential conflict. And so it's not surprising that those that have the least amount of skills on the job are going to cross that line.
Yeah. What about training when it comes to tasers? How similar is it to how an officer is trained to use a firearm in terms of, you know, just the amount of time and resources that go into it?
It will vary based on how their policy looks at it. Is it very restrictive use where the expectation is you're not going to use a taser much because you can only use it when you're faced with aggressive suspects? Or can you use it in a wide variety of scenarios. In that case, officers generally receive a little bit more training, but it's generally less than deadly force.
Okay. So what about the number of times that officers then are generally told to use a taser, right? Is it something you're supposed to use once and be done, or can you use it over and over again, like in this Glendale situation where you see this man tased 11 times?
Right. You can use it more than once if you think it will achieve the intended goal, which is incapacitation. It's fairly rare to use it multiple times. And so, again, in a study just doing right now in Colorado Springs and Portland, Oregon, in those two cities, we found that roughly 60% of the cases, officers only use it one time on a suspect. Another quarter, 25%, they use it two times. So it's fairly rare to use it more than two times on the same suspect. And the reason for that is quite practical, because if the officer's seeing that this isn't working, they're trained to transition to another tactic.
So when you see a case like this Glendale case, how out of the ordinary is this? Not just in the 11 times being tased, but in the way in which this has played out, and now it's being referred to the FBI, and there's so much question around it.
Well, there's kind of two parts to that. One is if you look at it from the perspective of how it started, right? It's a very common kind of scenario, an officer verbally instructing a suspect and a suspect not complying with that. So that's fairly odd. When the initial taser was used and it starts to be used multiple times, that's rare. I mean, we looked across my eight cities, we looked at over 18,000 use of force cases. Wow. I don't want to throw too many statistics here, but that's a lot, right? And the most we found of taser uses of that, which was around 3,000 cases, we only found one case across eight cities where the taser was used nine times. That was one case. So we don't even have a case where it occurred 11 times, and only one where it occurred nine.
Wow. How does the use of body cameras change this conversation?
I think the answer to that is we'll see. We're seeing it now. Certainly the public, it gives the public a view of how the police and citizens can interact and how something like this looks, right? And force, whether it's 11 times or even the first, if we just imagine it stopped after the first taser, I think the general public, when you see a taser being used, it's not pretty. Mm-hmm. It can be effective, and most times it is effective. In this particular case, it didn't appear to be effective at the first or 11th.
Okay. Bill Terrell is a professor in the School of Criminology and Criminal Justice at Arizona State University. Bill, thanks so much for coming in.
Sure.